greet you in that name that is above every other name. At the name of Jesus, every knee bows, every tongue confesses, because he indeed is Lord. And I greet you in the early morning hours, you know, occasionally, just depending on what it is that God has for you to do. There's going to be times where God gets you up at interesting moments and interesting hours, and you know, you always want to wait on the Lord. We are his servants. You know, he is the one that leads us and guides us. He is the one that directs us. He's the one that directs our steps and our time in the earth. And so in that, when you're responding to whatever it is that the Spirit of God is leading you and guiding you to do, you always just want to be quick to check, you know, quick to see in the realm of the Spirit, yes, Lord. Yes, you know, just like with Samuel, you know, when he was learning the voice of God, when he was learning to respond to the Spirit of God, he was learning that quickening because he didn't even know. He just when he had been dedicated in the temple, he didn't even know at that point, you know, what it was to respond to the voice of God, and he had to be taught and guided a bit and what that meant. So, you know, for him and, you know, the priest at the time would just say, no, look, when God speaks, you know, respond and say, Lord, here I am. You know, you always want to be, when God called his name, you want to be able to respond. So, you know, and that means that it goes on his terms, not ours. You know, there's times where things will get quiet. And when they get quiet, so do you. Then there's times where things will pick up and escalate. And when they do, when they pick up and escalate, so should you. Because you want to be about God's perfect timing in your time in the earth. Because the God that we serve, you know, we are eternal beings. We're not temporal. The God of this world, who is, or the God of the world system, I should say, is, or Lucifer, or the devil, the prince of the power of the air. The way that he works is, and the people that serve him, they're very much bound into a temporal reality and into a time-bound linear sequence of life and events. Whereas the God that we serve, he is eternal. He is I am. You know, there's such a difference between the base reality of what the world is stuck in and how the world moves versus how the children of God live. As an eternal being, you're eternal now. So this is why when you meet brothers and sisters in Christ anywhere in the world, that you will meet people that are eternal beings. So even their natural age is not going to mean really much of anything, because in the realm of the Spirit, that's a spiritual, eternal being. And so your brothers and sisters, they will resonate with you. Some of the most amazing people in my life from the Kingdom of God side are, they're in their 60s, there's one that's 80, you know, that just like, and you wouldn't know it if you met her. You know, you would think that she's 50 because of how she carries herself, and you know, the energy that's there, the spirit that's flowing through that person, the sharpness of that mind and that wit. You know, it's a beautiful, beautiful thing when you meet people that know God, that walk with him. And, you know, but part of our time in the earth, and this is not something that, that we can fake. You're not going to be able to fake it in the time when you need it. And we're moving more and more into the time now that you're going to need your walk. You're going to need your connection. You're going to need to know the voice of God for yourself. You're going to need to be able to respond when the Spirit of God speaks to you because of all that is swirling in and around us at such a time as this. You know, the confusion that's around us, the deception that's around us, the attacks that are being launched, all of that, in the midst of all of that, your ability to stay on track, to stay in your right mind, your right thought process, your right peaceful existence is going to also be in your ability to keep your focus on Christ. You remember Peter in the boat when they were on the storm. And in the middle of the storm and all the things raging around them, when he saw Jesus and that conversation that started with that, "Lord, if it's you, you know, bid me to come to you on the water." And Jesus said, "You know, by all means, Peter, come." And once he got out of that boat and started moving towards Christ, you know, now the storms didn't stop. The storms around him did not stop. But what happened was he was able to rise above those storms, rise above the waters that would have otherwise swallowed him, and moved in that direction towards Christ. As long as he kept his eyes, his mind, his heart focused and moving in that direction, he was fine. It was the time that he took his eyes off of Christ and started looking at all the waves and all the other things that were splashing and sloshing around him, that's when he started to doubt. That's when he started to fear. That's when all of it started to creep in and get to him. And that's when he started to sink. Now, in the middle of him sinking into that storm, into that sea that was waiting to, that thing around him that was waiting to try to consume him, in the middle of him sinking into that, he knew and had the sense to cry out to Jesus. And Jesus reached down, grabbed him, pulled him up, put him in the boat. Storm subsided. You know, he rebuked the winds and the waves. That time, the moment that he stepped in the boat, everything got calm, I believe. But, you know, different times Jesus showed that he had the power over the storm. You know, sometimes he would speak to it and tell it to be calm. Other times he'd just walk above it. But the storms were there. You know, the storms would come, and, you know, in different times it called for a different response. You know, sometimes he would just speak to it and subside the whole thing that was going on around. And other times he would say, "In the middle of this thing, I want you to trust me. In the middle of this thing, I want you to keep your eyes on me. In the middle of this thing, I want you to understand that you can do the miraculous despite the fact that the storm is not going to stop. You are going to be miraculous in the middle of the storm. And I'm going to walk through this with you. I am going to show you how to walk through this." There's universal principles, though, that are powerful. And one of them is keeping your eyes, your heart, your focus on Christ. The first and greatest commandment, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You know, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Speaking, you know, just about your needs in Matthew 6 separately. Always there's that thing there where if you will keep that focus, if you will keep that direction, if you will keep your eyes where they need to be, a lot of these other things that are going on around you are going to take care of themselves. You know, there's some powerful, powerful principles. And the merit in understanding the principle is that when you understand the principle, the other things that need to manifest, if you live off of those principles, the things that need to manifest will manifest off of that. You know, they will be what they need to be. They will take care of themselves. So seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Basically, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and, you know, this other stuff's going to take care of itself. You see what he's saying? It's just like, if you put that priority one where it needs to be, the other things are going to take care of and manifest and be what they need to be when they need to be those things. if you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, if you love the Lord with all of your being, and so you respond to His call, you pour out your heart towards Him, you keep on that direction, you keep on that path, that's the first and greatest commandment. Well, okay, you know, then you're in a good spot. You know, you're ready from that point to fulfill the second, which is to love your neighbor as yourself. You know, you're in a place now that you can truly love. You know, I know the world talks about all these things, and it rages with itself. It's just, it's comical to watch sometimes, because it rages with itself of trying to figure out how to relate to everybody else, and they try to legislate, especially in the West, legislate how they behave with each other. But the problem is that there's a war within them, and there's no peace within, because the first and greatest commandment is not taken care of. They don't love the Lord their God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. So they have something raging within them, and then when they are focused out and looking out and looking around, there's how can they love somebody else? You know, how can the love that they have be like the love of God? It can't be, because it doesn't come from that source. So it's a very worldly love. It's a very carnal love. It's a very base type of love. It's a very transactional love. You know, you give me this, I'll give you that. You know, that's the hallmark of the merchant society. That's the hallmark of a mercantile situation. And you know, that's the hallmark of the transitioning of the age and the time that we're coming out of, which was and has been the merchant society. You know, when scriptures talk about the time, you know, one of the signs of the times of the end, and you know, one of those things in there is the merchants are the world's great men. I mean, have we ever lived in a known time where the merchants were the world's great men to the extent of what we're in right now, or transitioning out of? I mean, that's starting to break down, because the merchant system is the merchant system left in and of itself, completely without being tempered at all by truth or justice or reason or any of the higher principles. If it's just purely down to you give me this and I'll give you that, well, I mean, you end up in a very dangerous situation with just that, and just that system working and functioning, because now everything is sought to be bought or sold. Scriptures tell us to buy the truth and sell it not. You can't sell the truth. You know, you you can seek it, you can acquire it to a degree. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, so you're not going to, you know, that's the starting point. You know, you're but still too, you know, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously without finding fault. So it's going to have to come from Him. It's going to have to come from, ultimately, from Him, because He's the source of all true wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. You're not going to get it from other people. I mean, without Him unlocking it in your heart, it's not with you. It's something that's going to be out there. It's something that's going to be external. And in the time and the age that we're moving into, you need it to be with you. You need it to be something that's inside of you. You need it to be something that wells up from within you, that responds in the moment that you're in appropriately for the situation you're in. You know, that's one of the beautiful things about wisdom, is that with wisdom, it really is it's like a fountain of life that's there within you, that is just, it's feeding your soul. It's beautiful, because when God gives you that, and when God gives you that, it's a blessing from Him. When He gives you that, you've got something with you that is going to bless you in your interactions. It's going to bless you in your decisions. It's going to bless you in how to live your time in the earth, how to have peace in your day while you're here, how to structure your life and your being, how to see through the traps that are set by the enemy of your soul. You want that. You want to see through, and you want to know. You want to know where things are coming from, because there's so much foolishness going on around us. There's so much that is taking place around with all that's going on in the earth. It can be very distracting, and all of it, like what happened to Peter, can just drag you down into the muck, into the mire, into the depths, and it can swallow you. You know, you can go way below the surface of the water and drowned in that. You know, what were the things that that Jesus said, that as far as the seed, when the seed was the word, the things that choke the seed and make it unfruitful were the worries, the riches, and the cares of this life. They choke it and make it unfruitful. And you think about all the things that people are worried about, the deceitfulness of riches, of what those are. Listen, money is neutral, but the love of money is going to kill you. You know, it's the root of all evil. So, you know, but it, in and of itself, it is something, it's a medium of exchange. But if you do not have some of these things resolved within you, they are going to, they're going to be a snare. You know, and you're going to be tested in that, of course. You know, but this is where you keep surrendering all these different areas of your life to God. Again, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You want to keep on that track. And when you have given yourself completely over to that, your motives and your intentions are going to be revealed. When they're revealed, instead of like the world does, trying to block the light or hide from the light, you just open yourself up, let the light of God flood in, let it expose, reveal, repent, let Him wash you clean, and move on, move forward with Him. It's incredibly freeing to be moving forward in the light, in the truth, completely open, nothing to hide, because you just live your life that way. Now, at the same time, you know, you want to have wisdom, because also in the world that we live in right now, we live in a world that will malign, will lie, will cheat, will come up with all kinds of things to distort and to slander the children of God. So you remember when Ahab wanted the guy's field, and Jezebel, you know, who in the scriptures was a person, but also a type of woman of the world, absolutely. And you know, but when he wanted that field, and the guy didn't want to sell it, you know, the guy didn't want to sell the vineyard that he had, but what did they do? They set him up. Typical gang stalking world system 101. They invited him to a feast. It's terrible. They invited him to a feast. They made him the guest of honor, and then they put a couple guys, because they needed to have at least two witnesses to be able to carry out an execution, pre-planned hit on this guy, and they killed him. You know, so they had two guys there come up with a false story about him. saying, you know, that he had said this and that he had said that, and crimes that were punishable by death, and they killed him. This is just a guy that was minding his own business, trying to live his life out in the earth. You know, the only thing that he did that, you know, the only thing that he did was he wasn't willing to sell that which was his right, that which was his birthright. He didn't want to sell the family vineyard that he had. Is that wrong? Well, in the world, the way the world works is, you know, in their hierarchy system, you know, if they want something, they want it. You know, they don't understand when something's not for sale. When something doesn't matter how much they have, that there's no price that it can be bought for. Oh, they lose it with things like that. I've seen that time and again. When there are things that are not for sale, that they can't buy, that they can't access, they go crazy. Because the system they have is built around that. The system that they have, because the people that are in the world and the world system, they sold themselves for a price to the world. So they sold that which, you know, was the most precious thing, their eternal soul. They exchanged that to be part of that system. And in that, and, you know, outside of the redemption of Christ, they're not getting that back. You know, outside of bowing their knee before the King of Kings, they're not getting that back, because he's going to be the only way to redeem that. And so right now, you know, moving down that track, in the place that they are, there is no, there's no hope for them. And what they want is they want to be able to buy and sell whatever they want in that system. So when, because they strive to have more and more. So when they come across something that in their own minds they should be able to buy, and it's not for sale, they lose it. And, you know, and that's what happened. So that's what happened in the case of I believe it was Naaman, but in his vineyard. And why the king, you know, Ahab and Jezebel, and why he was murdered. You know, ultimately by, I mean, Jezebel's the one that thought up the whole thing, got his seal. I mean, classic witch behind the scenes controlling the man and pushing him all over the place to accomplish a satanic agenda, which is to steal and to kill and to destroy. In John 10, the thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Right there, you know, you classic examples in Scripture of how some of these things work today, in the time that we live in right now. Today, same things happening all the time. Witches working all the time in setting up honest, good, just godly people. And that is part of the reason why the judgment of God is coming on the earth and has already begun. You know, it's already begun. But part of the reason why that the cup is full is because these things have happened over and over and over again. And now Ahab, you know, he didn't get away with that. Nobody gets away with anything. In fact, the verdict that was pronounced against him by Elijah was when, mind you, when Ahab went to go check out the field, his new vineyard that he was all excited and happy about, you know, after, you know, the owner had been murdered, the child of God had been murdered, the lamb, you know, that which was God's, one of God's children had been killed in order for him to get this, to steal this, to acquire this. When he was going there to go check this thing out, all happy and excited for his new toy, Which, incidentally, in the world, they're excited about their new toy for a week, and then they want the next one. You know, he would have been excited about that vineyard for a week, and then he would have wanted the next thing. You know, the reason that he was excited about that vineyard is it wasn't even because the owner, the child of God, was a good steward, and he took good care of it, and he did all things as unto the Lord, and as he did that, he made that a beautiful thing. And it had the Spirit of God and the life of God and the presence of God on it, and he wanted that. He wanted that. He wanted to taste that, because he was rejected. He had gone the way of the world and the way of the satanic, and so just part and parcel of being, of going that way, and part and parcel of that system was they just thought, okay, I'm going to buy it, or I'm going to take it by force, or I'm going to try to coerce it, whatever, but I want it. And it doesn't work like that. So when Ahab came to go check it out, and Elijah met him there, and he said, well, just so you know, the very same place that that the dogs licked up the blood of Naaman, your blood, O King, is going to be licked up by the dogs. And that's what happened. You know, that's what happened. The king in battle, he ended up going out to fight, and he got shot by an arrow. It got through his armor, and they took him off the field of battle, and he was mortally wounded. And as they took him back, and he died, and they washed out his chariot, you know, where he had bled all over the place inside, in the same place where the child of God had been killed, and his blood had pooled, and the dogs licked it up. You know, listen, you reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. From a natural standpoint, absolutely from an eternal standpoint. Sometimes in the natural, people might seem to get away with some things. But brothers and sisters, you got to realize that you don't see everything. You know, you don't see all the bits and pieces going on around us at any given time. You might see some things on a surface reality, but it's not what's going on the surface. It never is. It's always what's going on in the realm of the spirit. It's always what's going on in that deeper dimension. And there are already many, many, many that have been on the side of the world that their distractions don't work anymore. Their go-tos for how to keep their minds off of the corruption and the damage that they have done. The fact that they don't have a relationship with the living God, the fact that the questions that needed to be answered have not been answered, and instead they've gone the wrong way. The distractions that have been there, they're not working anymore. And more, as peace is being taken from off of the earth, so too is the effectiveness of even the things that they used to draw on to sedate themselves. You know, that's not working anymore. But absolutely, judgment comes. You reap what you sow. That's a universal principle that, you should have been taught this as a child. You should have been taught this as a young adult. You should know and have internalized this as an adult. The children of God instinctually know this. The world thinks that they can get away with it, you know, because of that mystery of iniquity, which is there, that they've banked on for a long time. But the thing is the way that it works in the world is is that one day it just runs out. You know, one day God pulls your card. And when he does, you realize that you've given yourself over to a strong delusion, but it's too late. You know, it's too late. Now, my hope and my prayer is that people repent, that people get right with God. That truly is, you know, my heartfelt desire, because the blood of Jesus is sufficient, and there is no reason for that eternal gift for it to not be. There's no reason that God came for you. You know, Jesus Christ came and died for our redemption, for our salvation, for us to be right with the Father. And, you know, and then God brought people out. He has brought people from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, over and over and over again. And in the middle of that, though, too, there is still the need to respond. When God calls, you respond. And if you fail to respond, if you reject the truth, then you do so to your eternal destruction. And there's already the reaping of what people have sowed has definitely begun. I mean, I'm seeing it around more and more and more. Now, here's one other piece of this thing as well. Is scripturally, there are definitely times where I've seen where God says too that you're going to look for me and you're not going to find me. And that is an incredibly scary thing. Because, you know, I remember, you know, even back to some of my conversations in college where, you know, I had friends that, you know, we would talk about spiritual things. We would talk about Jesus. We would talk about, you know, your soul. And, you know, I remember in one conversation where a guy that I knew, his stance, one thing he said was, you know, he's like, you know what, I believe, you know, I know that the stuff you're talking about is true, but he said, but you know, I want to go my own way right now. You know, I want to do this. I want to do that. you know, I want to find a girl to get married to. I want to have a couple kids, and then I'm going to find God. You know, and in his own mind, even too, God was this concoction of religion and a few other things that he had made up in his own mind. And it doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. See, I pray for that friend even now. You know, I pray, God, that you would open his eyes and that you would bring him to you. But I know as well that there's a window. And, you know, there may be in that moment of time, and not a lot of people that think about having some deathbed confession, and I know people that have had deathbed confessions or had confessions, you know, leading up to that. But then I know a ton of people that have just been snatched from this earth that didn't know that it was coming, or that went into that and, you know, that wasn't part of their final experience. And, listen, there's a lot of souls that are not right. That from an eternal standpoint, would have liked to have done it differently. But this is your window here. This right now is your window, is your time, is your season in the earth. Right now, for such a time as this. You know, I on one side, I know that we've all had that response internally of wanting to be done, I know that that's been there, because, you know, for Lot living in Sodom, Sodom and Gomorrah, it talked about in scriptures how it vexed his soul to be there. You know, here he's living in this place, and, you know, materially he was doing very well, but in the realm of the spirit, it vexed his soul to be there because of all of what he was surrounded by. And I know, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, that listen here, I know that it vexes your soul to be in this world at such a time as this. At the same time, and I know there's something in us that desires to be home with our Heavenly Father, to be done and to be out of all of this. At the same time, God's call is for us to go through. You know, remember the prayer of Christ Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he said, you know, Lord, if it be possible, take this cup from me, i.e., you know, I wouldn't mind to be out of this. So that was the first part, you know, all of it being laid before the Father and brought before his throne, and an honesty of heart and showing us how you do this also. And I'm grateful for that. It was out there. So, Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. You know, nevertheless. So, you know, there was no pause. There was no hesitation there. There was no, but here it is. This is where I'm at. Raw, everything, all of it out there. Boom, that's it, done. Lord God, this is where I'm at. At the same time, Lord, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Nevertheless, I'm here at such a time as this to be a part of God's plan and purpose in the earth. So in that process, in that plan, in that purpose, Lord, your will be done. I'm here arriving on the spot, ready for duty in Jesus' name. You see how that works. And you're going to have peace in that. You're going to be empowered in that. It's not going to work on your time signature, on your time stamp. You know, it's so funny. When it comes to sleep, it's all over the place. For me, sometimes. So, just to give you a little insight. And I know, you know, my sleep gets attacked by the enemy. You know, I know that's part of the attacks of the enemy. So two nights in a row, you know, wasn't able to sleep before 4 a.m. And then last night went to bed a bit early, but, you know, this morning, God nudged me, looked over at the clock, 3:24. So, all right, you know, but here's the thing, when God nudges you, you respond. When he quickens you, you get up. And there's a total difference between when the enemy is attacking your spirit and your sleep, and when God is quickening you because there's something that needs to be said. You know, and this morning, of course, respond. Something needs to be said. Something needs to be captured. And you know, it can happen anytime, according to his directing, not ours. So, and that's in the work that you do, that's in the things that you say, that's in the people that you talk to, that's in whatever it is that you communicate, that's it. That can be in a transaction or a business deal, or something that you walk away from, or something that you need to say, or something that you have to pray about. My gosh, there are so many things right now that are needing and in need of a spiritual intervention. And God has us here, and we are the ones that pray, and it makes a difference, brothers and sisters in Christ. It makes a difference. You know, we pray and things change. We pray and things change. You know, I am grateful for that. I am so grateful for the times where I've just been blessed over and over and over again. It's past the numbers that I can count. But just seeing God answering and responding to our prayers, the prayers of the saints, when we are quickened by Him and we respond to what it is that God is putting on our spirits. Because, you know, He has us here in the earth because we are ambassadors of Christ in the earth. We are that bridge in such a time as this between the paradigm of the natural and the realm of the spirit. All right, you are a bridge. You manifest things from the realm of the spirit into the natural, and likewise we're a witness of what's going on in the natural realm to the realm of the spirit. So when we pray, we're also testifying. When we pray, we're also bringing that before God. You know, and all of that is going before His throne, and it is creating also that record. You know, that the things that will be made right. You know, God will make everything right. You know, all things will be brought into the judgment. See, this is where again the world feels like, because it has gone a certain way for a period of time, that that it's going to be able to that things work like that in the realm of the spirit, and they don't. You know, there's in the realm of the spirit, there is you know, truth stands supreme. The word of God is above all. And there is, nothing is hidden. Oh my gosh, nothing is hidden in that realm. All is made known. So because of that, you know, it's not in the world, they think, okay, well, they just, you know, they corrupt the legal system, they corrupt the justice system, they lie and they're caught lying and they, say, no, I didn't say that. Well, here's the thing, is that in the realm of the spirit, it doesn't work like that. And even if for a short period of time, somebody feels like they can get away with something because they've pushed something through or corrupted something in the world system that allows them to get away with something for a short window, there are still spiritual repercussions for those actions. And that has been set in motion from the moment something takes place, and you will reap what you sow. It will come back to you. It's just how it works. So you can't, once those bullets are out of the gun, you can't suck them back in. Okay? You know, it's something's been put in motion. This is why you know, when it comes to living a life where you can have peace, where when you rest, you can rest with peace in your heart. This is why it's important to realize what the scriptures say and to live according to God's what He set out for you. So this is where you know, like something like the book of Proverbs is a powerful life tool, because it just maps out what's necessary for a successful life. You know, of how to deal while you're in the earth. You know, so read it. In Ecclesiastes, super for just realizing everything the world's got to offer and all the limitations of each and every one of those things and the conclusion of the matter, which is to fear the Lord and keep His commandments, for God will bring every work into judgment, whether it be good or evil. So, you know, another just side tip, but when it comes to your rest, you know, and, you know, all of these things are part of life and balance here in the earth. But for the child of God, because also those are times where the enemy seeks to come in to attack your thoughts, to attack your mind. You know, a couple things that I have some you know, handful of people that I will listen to if it ever comes to audios or podcasts that are out there. I really keep that you know, limited, because I'm mindful of the spirit that's behind the words that are spoken, because that will seep into your own spirit, that will affect your consciousness, that will affect how you see and relate to your time in the earth. So I'm mindful of that, but there's some great, great, great stuff out there from people that speak, and that speak the word of God, speak the truth. You know, I give you an example. My brother in Christ, my friend out there in New Mexico, Zeph Daniel, just a great, wonderful man of God, you know, that has walked with the Lord and speaks the truth. Trish, great, just amazing. Love those guys. You know, but like that, just, you know, the spirit that's there, that they've surrendered to, it comes through in the things that they do. And so that's one thing. You know, another place is, you know, the scriptures. Put those in, let those be where your eyes and your heart focus. You know, let those be in the air. You know, let that word go. Sometimes, you know, when I have trouble resting, I'll put that on. You know, there's audio Bibles galore out there. I like going with the King James. You know, it resonates with me. I know there's a lot of I'll say interesting translations out there. So in, you know, back to, you know, studies of the Bible, and okay, if you want to talk about studies of the Bible, there's three schools of translation. There's the literal translation, which they try to go for a word for word translation of from the original text to, you know, to the language that is being used in modern, is so literal, so it's a word for word. There is a dynamic equivalent. So a dynamic equivalent translation would be to try to say, okay, this is what was meant, and so, you know, this would be the most equivalent translation of that in modern language and modern word usage. And then there is a what's called a free translation, which is basically, that's probably the most loose of all translation forms, which is, you know, and I've those can be sometimes inspirational reading more than anything, you know, for me. But kind of the two schools that are most people stay within for if they're going to study the scriptures is either a literal translation or a dynamic equivalent. But you know, all that to say, for me, hey, I like the King. I like the King James Version, that's kind of my go-to, you know. And you guys know that whenever we're quickened to pull out the scriptures, so because I know too that there are efforts, especially right now, to keep pushing different new translations of the Bible, but sometimes when I see or I hear those, and then I'm just like, something's not right there, and it just doesn't sit, it just doesn't resonate. Now, you know, when you study though, if you ever feel called to dig into these, you know, there's tons of good tons of good resources, lots of free stuff out there too that can help you to go through and to dig into a text if you want to. eSword, so eSword.net is a really good one. eSword.net. You can download. I believe that's the right site, but that one is tons of comparative tools, probably one of the best study softwares that I've seen out there, and you know, better than so many of the paid versions that are out there. The guy just did a just created it, and people use it all over the world. Super. I love it when I see things like that that are out there, because the truth needs to be shared, and there's resources there. There's things that are here that God has put as well, and Quicken people to put out there as well to help you in your journey. See, you got to also know you're not alone in your time in the earth. You're not alone here by any means. I know sometimes it feels like that, because Elijah felt like that. You know, when he was, especially when he was being hunted and attacked and maligned and running for his life, you know, he felt like that. But you are not alone. And God has reserved for himself in that time 7,000 that had not bowed the knee, you know, to all the stuff that Jezebel had set up. You know, he had reserved for himself those that were his. And God has reserved for himself in every time, and right now in the time that we live in, those that are his, and they are here, and we carry on and do the Father's, we're about the Father's business in the earth, and God has protected you, watched over you. When the time comes for us to check out and leave, we check out, having gone through, not being pulled out and not being evac'd, but having gone through. And you have every tool necessary for you to be able to go through. Use the weapons of your warfare. You know, Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Go through and read the weapons of your warfare. You know, we've gone through it in a couple audios back. You know, so go through. Read those. Meditate on those. Realize that those are things for you to use in your struggle. Because we know that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places. That's where our war is. So in order to fight that war, you've got to use the weapons that are what work in that war. And so for you to be able to use those, you need to know what they are and you need to apply them. You know, just a couple of days ago, I was talking with a sister in Christ that was under attack, but didn't realize what it was, because some of these things are a bit new to her. So we were discussing them. And once she understood, it helped her make sense, you know, of, okay, this is where some of these things are coming from. This is what they are. Once you see, once you know, once you understand, when things are brought into the light, listen, when things are brought into the light, from my own experience, the enemy loses the majority of his power in the moment that something's brought into the light. When it's brought into the light, half of the strength of whatever he was doing is gone as far as an attack goes. But once it's brought into the light, then you deal with it. You deal with it from in the realm of the spirit, and you deal with it with the weapons of your warfare. Know that the name of Jesus is above all. The name of Jesus has the authority and the power to decimate any work of the devil. You command the demonic to flee and to leave in Jesus' name, and it gets out. It goes. So when you pray in Jesus' name, things change. When you petition the Lord, and you come to him in Jesus' name, he hears your voice, he knows, he understands, he responds. All of that is there. and you've been given weapons. So this is why also I love to put the scriptures in the air, because when that's there and it's resonating and it's feeding my spirit, feeding my soul, then those come back to me. You know, so even in this talk, you know, all these things, these are, you know that this is stuff that God is just, it flows. And it flows because of the connection to the source. And this is all part of what God has done. Now, I have certain things that I can do to flow with Him more effectively, to flow with Him, but it's Him doing the work. You know, I can just kind of tweak a few pieces along the way so that I can, you know, that it's, I want to work in partnership and in connection and in alliance with. I don't want God to be doing things in spite of me. You know, I don't want it just to be, I want to be all in. I want to be on His page. You know, I that's the way I want to live. You know, I'm like, all right, Lord, you know, what are we doing today? I tell you, brothers and sisters, it's exciting. It's exciting because, you know, I know that these are turbulent and difficult times. At the same time, for this reason and this purpose, you know, we've been sent. You know, remember when so many tried to come to distract Jesus from going to Jerusalem and from going to the cross. And, you know, and even when, you know, the enemy tried to work through and use even Jesus' closest disciples, like Peter, when Peter's like, Lord, say that this thing's never going to happen. Say that let this never be. And what did Jesus say? Get behind me, Satan. You know, you're not thinking about the things of God, but you're thinking about the things of men. This, the reason that I've been sent was for this. Why am I going to run away from the very purpose that I was sent into the world for in the first place? But you've got to be on God's page to be able to see it like that. Because otherwise, if you just go by the way the world works, you will never fulfill the mission that God has for you in the earth. Never. Never, ever, ever. It won't happen if you go the way of the world. You've got to be on God's page for that to happen. Samson, in his, when he got caught up, it was that moment that he, you know, even after his eyes had been gouged out and all the rest of that, but that moment that he turned his face towards God and he prayed and he said, Lord God, just one more time, you know, one more time, Father, give me the strength one more time. And God did. And God used him powerfully, powerfully. So, you know, and that was the close of his time in the earth. Now, each person, each one of us has a mission, has a reason, has a purpose in our time in the earth. We've all been given assignments. We've all been given things that God has for us to do as we are part and parcel of what the work is that needs to take place in the earth at such a time as this. And we are joint heirs with Christ Jesus. You know, we have an eternal inheritance. So in what you're doing in the earth, this is not your home. And to live is Christ and to die is gain. So it's fine for us to check out at any moment. It really is. You want to be on God's page. You want to be, you want to know where that exit is. It's Christ Jesus. You want to be, you know, moving in that. And we brush off the offers and the attempts of the world to try to seduce us into that system, or to try to pulverize us or crush us if they try to attack you. You know, you've got weapons that you can bring to bear, and we routinely decimate the demonic forces that are sent against us. Just a part of our practice of life. You know, because we've been given that. We've been given that authority and that power in Jesus' name. And we use that power in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name right now, I pray for each and every one of us. I pray over our faith mix, over our team, over my own life, over every person listening that walks with Christ Jesus right now. I pray, and we in Jesus' name, and pray with me. Don't just listen. Pray with me right now. In Jesus' name, we shield each and every one of us. We send back every demonic attack that has been sent against us by the enemy and by the spirits of darkness and by those workers of iniquity and by those that are on the demonic side and on Satan's side. In Jesus' name, we break every one of those attacks right now. We send them back in Jesus' name sevenfold to be on those people. And to stay on those people, we bind them onto those people right now. And either they repent and get right with the living God, either they repent and bow their knee before Jesus Christ right now, or that's it, they're done. Life is over for them. Done. In Jesus' name. Father, I pray right now for my brothers and sisters. I pray that you would shield them, guide them, encourage them, protect them, strengthen them. Father, in Jesus' name right now, I pray, Lord God, that the blessing of your Spirit would flow through them. Flow through all of us, Lord God. Encourage us in the Word. Encourage us, Lord God, in the journey. Encourage us, Father, in the time that we live in right now, which even though it's a dark time, Lord God, your light shines bright and it floods and it overwhelms and it is beautiful and we love it, Lord God, and we come into the light. Let your light shine bright through each and every one of us and destroy every work of darkness around us this day, this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, I bless you guys. Love you. Drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. Say hi. God bless you. We'll talk to you soon. Bye.